Welcome to John Wayne Lied to You, the storytelling podcast featuring me, your one and only fine friend, companion, enemy, frenemy, funemy, gonna be your hero, John Wayne. That's right, here I am, back again. This week I am in the Library of Evil, nestled tightly and snug as a bug in the east wing of Wayne Manor. Here I am covered in my nice, I got a nice Baphomet blanket. It's very soft flannel material, and it's got a big Baphomet in a pentagram on it, and I love it. And it's very cozy, and I enjoy it, my new addition to my library here to keep me warm. Keep you warm. I mean, I'm in Houston, so it's not exactly that cold, but I know a lot of my friends are getting hit with like some kind of snowpocalypse or Snowmageddon or show me yours, I'll show you Geddon or something like that is going on all up and down, like I guess the East Coast and the Northern East Coast. It involves a lot of white powder, and it's not cocaine. So, shouts out to everyone, you know, please stay safe and warm. I know when I say I'm cold, you laugh at me haughtily. Cold boy, you know nothing of cold. You're right, but I do travel around. I did live in Pittsburgh. I know I'm not totally some kind of non-cold experiencer, but I don't like it. And you can have it, and you can be strong, tough guys in the cold and gals, and I'm fine with that. But for me and my house, I will be in the Library of Evil with a Baphomet blanket, being nice and warm when it's, 40 degrees outside, which is probably like summertime to a lot of you up there in the snow right now. Anyway, thanks for being here again and joining me once again this week. I am very stoked. My brand new book, As Seen on TV, came out yesterday, and it was an exciting, busy day. As I said last week, I was at BizarroCon on my BizarroCon recap. I talked about how Brian Keene had me on the horror show with Brian Keene to interview me about my book and just about my writing and all this kind of stuff. And that came out on Friday. And, it was cool. I saw a lot of activity across my social media from that. And it was cool to see that. And I was doing my best to interact and do all that kind of stuff, keep it going and retweet and share all this stuff and make sure that all that stuff gets out there because, excuse me, I wanted to, make sure I was promoting the book and the interview and all this kind of stuff that was happening. But it was cool and it was exciting. My seventh book is out. Please check it out from Grindhouse Press, As Seen on TV. It is about a serial killer named Artie who is obsessed with As Seen on TV products. He believes that each one holds a secret inside of it, which the inventors have placed for you to take apart and figure out how to make them better, unlock their hidden potential. Artie's been a killer for 20 plus years. He has never wanted to get caught like some of his contemporaries have. He has never once been close to being caught. He's eluded the law and suspicion every single time, all throughout his career. He always knows when to leave the town that he's in. He always gets away just in the nick of time. What happens is a strange man moves next door to Artie in the garage apartment, and he starts having interactions with this man, and they're not entirely pleasant. And then during these interactions, Artie starts to wonder if it's something else out there that's keeping him from having been caught this entire time in his killing career. And there's a lot of popcorn and blood and a lot of fun. So please check it out. It's on Grindhouse Press. It's on Amazon right now. Kindle. It's not in the John Wayne is Dead store just yet. I want to make sure I have my physical copies in so that I can send them out before I put it out there to order, just in case it takes longer or something for me to get them. But they will be up there soon, and I'll be posting about it. So please check it out. I'm very happy and excited about it. And thank you in advance, or if you've already pre-ordered it and have it, thank you so much. I appreciate it. But that was exciting to have that happen and come out. And then also, like in all this, I have all this stuff going on in that melee of stuff I was promoting. I almost forgot. the anthology from Death's Head Press that I'm in, called And Hell Followed, came out last week too. I believe on Monday it launched. And that's got, I mean, that's an awesome anthology. It's got, like, I think 16 writers, just each one like a heavy hitter. Like, you look at this and it's like bam, bam, bam. You got Rath, James White, Christine Morgan, Jeff Strand, I can't remember anybody else but me, and other things. So it's great. I can't wait to get my copy and hold it and touch it and love it. But all the stories in this have to do with the apocalypse, according to Revelation in the Bible. So you had to take that idea of what the apocalypse would be and write on that. That was the only thing. Like, even if you just mentioned it, that was enough. So I'm interested to see how the other writers approach that, because, you know, I know how I did it, and I want to see it. And so I think you should too. So that's something else that's awesome you should check out. Okay, so aside from that, I haven't been home too long since the last time I talked to you guys. I flew in overnight on, you know, Monday night into Tuesday morning. Sucked. Red eyes are not as cool as you think. Slept most of the day on Tuesday, didn't really get much done, and I was back to the day gig on Wednesday, and it was fine getting back in there. Some shit was broken, so it was kind of a longer day than it needed to be, but Thursday at the day job, it was definitely a way longer day than it needed to be, and I wish I was exaggerating, but I am not. I worked from 6 a.m. to 11:15 p.m. Things were broke. Something was broken. We had to go slow. We had to, like, do things one at a time. Shit was just fucked up. And I really hope that we get it all fixed, because I'm afraid that this is these kind of hours. And then I know, like, I mean, I felt bad Friday. I had to leave early. You know, I told them I was leaving early, you know, days before. So it wasn't like a surprise. But man, I know they were there late because shit was fucking up again, man. And I don't know how much longer the crew can take this. Honestly, we have to get this stuff fixed and get going here. But that's just how it is out there, you know? I mean, shit happens and you have to adapt and make the best of it. And that's what we're trying to do. But man, this is tough. So I was doing all that and working. And then Chris and I played last night at Rudyard's. And we haven't played there in a while. And I was excited to get back there and play. But it was kind of bittersweet. Because a friend of mine and ours and everybody's really, Stacy Hartoon, passed away a couple of days ago. She was a bartender there at Rudyard's for years and years, and she was, I believe, the bar manager now, like this last over the last year or so. But she used to book the shows, so she booked all of my bands a bunch of times. Super sweet to me all the time that I saw her. She was always at Grown Up Storytime working the bar, and she would look forward to hearing my stories. I'd go up and get a beer, and she'd say, "Do you have a story tonight?" And I'm like, "Yeah." And she'd, you know, clap and be like, "Yay!" So that, like, she was awesome. And she, you know, I guess she had a brain cancer, and they were working and doing some surgeries and trying to get it taken care of, but it just got the better of her in the end. And it was very, very sad to read that when I heard the news, and then essentially one day later go and play at the bar at Rudyard's. So I was glad to be back, but I was, you know, it was sad about Stacy. But I like to think that, you know, we did that set last night and did a good job for her. She would have liked it if she were there, and she would have been happy. So rest in power, Stacy. We definitely miss you. And it's going to be tough. But we did have a good show. I thought we played really well, Chris and I. We made some new friends. You know, a lesbian came on stage and rubbed my nipple because it was coming out of my shirt when I was playing. That was that's always fun. See, always fun things, you know? But that was her justification. She was like, "I'm gonna touch your nipple." And I was playing the song. She says, "I'm totally gay though." And I was like, "All right, whatever. You know, it's rock and roll, baby. It's rock and roll." So, you know, that's my crazy life. People touching nipples. I don't know what the hell's going on. So we had a great show. We, you know, And, you know, I went back to Chris's house and crashed and nothing big. And now I'm just back at the manor to talk to you guys and to get the day rolling and whatnot. So that's, I'm trying to think if that was the biggest parts of my week. I'm getting ready for Days of the Dead next week. I leave Thursday. I mean, I still have to start getting all my shit together on Wednesday. And then Thursday, Nick P. and I will be driving off to Hot Atlanta, where we will be meeting the great David Barbie. Once again, he will be tabling with me there. Sad to say, Mike Lombardo will not be there unless he pulls some kind of surprise trickery and shows up, which would be awesome. If you don't know who Mike Lombardo is, he's a filmmaker, extremely talented. His feature just came out on Blu-ray called I'm Dreaming of a White Doomsday. I highly recommend it. It doesn't have to be Christmas to watch this movie. It's amazing. He's a great, he does all like the prosthetics and gore effects himself. He's very talented in that. But he just by happenstance needed a place. I'd met him once before last year. He came to the table with us, and man, we became like best friends. So he's awesome. Check him out. But sadly, he won't be at the convention with us this year. So I'll have to sing Bone Thugs by myself. But I know that when I'm there and I look up at the moon, I like to think that he's somewhere out there looking up at the moon too, and we're both missing Uncle Charles. You know. We're just both missing him together. And that's what's going to get me through. So I'm getting prepared for that. I'm very excited. It's my second time there at that one in Atlanta. So I really want to see how the second go-around is. You know, it's like this is how the building process starts. You know, it's like you go, you lay the foundation, you come back, you build, you come back, you build some more, you know. So I'm excited to see how that goes. And excited to be out there. It's going to be fun. It's also will be my birthday out there, so if you're out there, come say happy birthday to me. And the best way to celebrate my birthday is to buy my book and or give me drugs. That's all I want. So please and thank you. So moving on to our tarot reading this week. As you know or do not know, I do a 3-card tarot reading on myself before every show. Just as a thought exercise, things that I'm going through my head this week, I think about those and then kind of try to get a new perspective based on what the cards mean. So this week it was, you know, I have to say I have never gotten these 3 cards in a reading before. So I was excited about that. I was like, oh shit, new cards that I haven't seen on myself. So the first one, I'll tell you my thoughts where I was thinking of always of balance, planning, you know, that's been a big thing on my mind, worth, and I put that on there because I have in a panel at BizarroCon, Sada Namir said, she made a comment of like, you know, don't self-deprecate yourself, you know, when somebody says they like something that you did, don't say it sucks or you don't know why or nah, it's not that good, because you're just like you're insulting those people. They want to tell you that they enjoy what you did and you're worth that, you know, you should be proud of that, somebody liking what you've done, not be all like, oh, I don't know, it sucks. No, fuck that. So I liked that the way she put it, and I was, you know, everybody is a little bit guilty of like, well, I don't know, I don't know if I'm any good, but man, if you're really putting it in there and you're doing your best and this is your life and someone tells you you're good, you just take the compliment. You don't have to suck their dick or anything. Just say thank you, I really appreciate it. You don't have to say like, I know I'm the best, but just take the compliment, and I'm gonna start doing that. Be better at that. So that's why I was thinking of that. Thank you, Sada, for that insight. And then choices, making better choices for future success. So I'm thinking about all these things. It's a new year, a bunch of stuff coming up, a new book, new cons, new gigs, new digs, everything. So I want to make good choices around those. First card I drew was Temperance. So as you can imagine, this is about bringing balance, patience, and moderation into your life. It's tempering off all excesses to bring things into like a kind of even flow of in and out. This card wants you to remain calm despite franticness and stress. Manage your emotions. So this is always an easier said than done type situation, but when shit's going crazy and people are like, just be calm, or you know, you have to, you know, kind of collect yourself before you make a decision or before you move forward, that's what this is saying. Like, shit can be crazy and it's hard to do, but make that effort to step back and, you know, get your emotions in check before you do anything, I guess. Your patience keeps the little things from bothering you. I wrote this down, and then I wrote, choose your battles. That's something that I've just always subscribed to, man. Is this the hill you want to die on? No, it's more than likely not, you know? So be patient. Be more patient about the little things, because if you start sweating all those little things that you let them bother you, they're going to bother you more and more, and then even smaller things will start to bother you. And then smaller things will start to bother you. And it'll become an awful thing. So choose your battles, you know. Just I always tell myself that when I was a Starbucks manager, I would give that advice to the people that worked for me, but I was using that advice every day. You know, there's 100,000 million things as a manager of any kind of business that you can walk into any given day and see things that could be done better or different or whatever. But sometimes you got to look at those things and say, is that even worth it? Is that a thing really, or is this just made up in my mind that it's important? Choose your battles. You know, don't start shit where there is no shit. Don't start no shit, won't be no shit. Wu-Tang, what's up? Recognize. Consider all perspectives and avoid any extremes. Work to bring together diverse groups. So what this means by that is, like, take into account the people around you's perspectives and feelings. And the extreme thing that it's referring to is, this is not the time now to take an extreme point of view or bring an extreme point of view to a group of people. You know, we see this every second of every day on Facebook with everything and any social media, where people are like taking these very, you know, extreme stances and saying extreme things on both sides or all sides of whatever is going on or whatever is polarizing people at the moment. And, you know, it's not helping. So this card is calling for it. You know, that's the temperance part. Pull it back. Even if you want to say it, don't. You know, it's not going to help anything. You know, it says be the one who listens to people and helps solve, rather than just trying to jam your, you know, point of view down everyone's throat. Listen to other people. Maybe we can help them, you know, help each other by listening and trying to solve problems rather than just screaming why we're all wrong all the time. You have a clear and long-term vision, and you're doing all the work and not rushing. That's just basically saying, like, you know, for example, my long-term vision, you know, and long-term goal is, of course, to make, you know, writing and the arts my career and that be my thing that I do. So that's my goal, and I have definitely been working very hard so far, but there's a lot more work to do. And not rushing, like, it's saying you can't rush these things. You can't, you're not gonna do yourself any favors by rushing through any of the work that needs to be done, because you're not really doing it. You're just trying to, okay, I'm done with this, now to the next one, so that I can get to this part, so that I can have the fun part. You know, it doesn't work like that. You are learning and using what you've learned. I wrote that down because that's just a thing, like I always say, like, I learn something new from every con I go to, from every gig Chris and I play. You learn a little something new that you bring back to the table next time to help yourself improve. And I think that's important to be active about, like, kind of taking an active approach to that learning process, especially if you make a mistake. You know, that's a big learning experience. So, you know, that's the ultimate thing you should learn from is mistakes and move forward. So that's just a reminder. I wrote that down, so I like it. Five of Cups was my next card I drew. Now, this card represents a situation that hasn't gone your way. You're sad and regretful, but you cannot wallow in it. Basically, it says to set a time limit for this, for these feelings. You know, if something didn't go your way, maybe you got a rejection, or you didn't get the job you wanted, or something like that, or somebody breaks up with you, whatever. You're allowed to feel all the things that you're going to feel. But you need to, I guess, look at putting an appropriate time on it, because you can't just start living your life in that wallowing pity. It's an easy trap to fall into. So this is just suggesting, like, feel everything you need to feel, get through it, but don't let yourself get stuck in those feelings. This, like, on this card, so there's a guy standing there. He's in a cloak. He's looking down at the ground at his feet. He's got three cups that are spilled right at his feet. He's looking down. He's sad about them. Behind him are two cups standing up and full. And it's basically saying that if you spent this time, if you're spending your time like lamenting over loss or failure or whatever doesn't go your way, you're gonna miss the opportunities that are right there. They're so close, but you can't even see them. You can't even feel that they're behind you because you're just so nose down in your own fucking poor me bullshit. So that's what this is saying. Like, you can't wallow. Release your negative emotions that are holding you back to create positive change. That's just like a tag on that same thing. It's easier said than done. Like, look, I've been there. Like, I know how it is to be like all and then think like, yeah, I'm dark and dim and emo, man, fuck it. You're not doing yourself any favors. As much as a badass as you think you are, the negativity is not going to help you move forward in anything, I've found. If you found different, good for you. Let go of your disappointment. The disappointment that you feel in yourself and others, that's important. Learn from your mistakes and move on. Don't let other opportunities go by because you're not paying attention. That's all the stuff I said just from looking at the card. There are new opportunities waiting for you if you shift your mindset and focus on what you can do right from here on out. That's, again, just a take on the learning. Like, always learn, then, you know, move forward. You know, you got a loss there. Okay, go ahead to the next one. Now you're going to do it a little bit better because you know better. Yeah, so this is it. I liked that card, and it went really well with the Temperance. And my next card I got was the Two of Cups, which, I don't know, this was kind of a weird one on the end of this reading for me, because basically the Two of Cups it represents the love between two people, is what it kind of starts off with, but then it branches off. It doesn't necessarily have to be this romantic relationship at all. It can be a partnership in business or in some other goal that you're partnered up with somebody to achieve, where that mutual respect and a different kind of love flows back and forth for each other. You're focused on creating a relationship that is mutually beneficial and create a win-win for both of you. So maybe you're working with somebody, you know, maybe you're like from my world, if you're writing a book with somebody, you know, you're working with a publisher, whatever, you're working with an editor. Those are relationships, right? That's a two-person, that's the relationship there. And you should be working at that to make it a win-win for yourself and the other person involved, you know. And you just create harmony by listening to each other and taking that into effect, taking that into account before you're back and forth, like, with your opinion and whatnot, which you go back to Temperance, where it says, consider all perspectives and, you know, that people are telling you, help solve the problems rather than just jam your opinion in there. A relationship built on harmony and mutual respect will succeed with communication and shared focus. That's like the overall of this card. At first it was kind of weird, but I think, like, with Temperance, and then the Five of Cups, you put this, maybe you put the two things you learned from those cards into a relationship between yourself and whoever it may be, your lover, your partner, husband, wife, business partner, anything, and it will be successful. That, you know, that's kind of what I take away from this. That's like the cherry there. You want these relationships to be successful, however you look at them, whatever you consider the relationship to be, even if you have a metaphor, some weird thing for relation that's a relationship metaphor for you. It's going to take all of these things, I think, that we learned from Temperance and the Five of Cups to make those relationships a success, amongst other things. But with just within this reading, that's what I got. So, yeah, so that's it. And that's that. I dug that. I hope you guys got something out of it and enjoyed it. So moving on to our story this week. Oh, first of all, I did want to say a couple things. I knew I'd forget things from BizarroCon and, like, remember them later. And you know, and stuff. So I did remember something that I wanted to say. I wanted to give shout outs to Liam. He lives in Devonshire, I think, and I'm pretty sure I didn't say this on the last podcast, but when we were playing, like, I play a set now after Andrew Goldfarb, aka the Slow Poisoner, at the Friday party at BizarroCon, and I play like a few of our songs, the John Wayne's Dead songs, and I'll throw a couple covers in for fun. So, as you know or don't know, like, one of my favorite bands is Alkaline Trio, and I played like a kind of a deeper cut song called Peter, or My Friend Peter, and I start playing, like, here's a cover, I don't say who it is or whatever, and I just start playing it, and as I'm playing, I start singing it, and I hear someone else singing along, like, to my immediate right, sitting against the wall by me, and I was like, what? And I kind of, like, glance over my shoulder, and I see him, like, give me a thumbs up, and, like, yeah, and he's singing along. I was like, oh, shit. And then when I was done, I was like, this guy rules, and he pulls up, like, he was wearing, like, a button shirt or whatever, and he pulled it up, his undershirt that he had on was an Alkaline Trio shirt. So that was awesome. He's an awesome dude. That was his first time at BizarroCon. It was cool hanging out with him, and I really hope he comes back. And Liam, if you're listening, shouts out. You rule, man. Devonshire for life. So, anyway, moving on. I'll probably remember other things, and, you know, throughout the time that we spend together, and tell you about, regale you with things. But today, if I had a girlfriend, she'd kill me. Jesus Christ, going through this puberty here. I think I'm a little hoarse because of just last night's show and being up late and being up early. So excuse me. I do have some Grandpappy's medicine here, so don't worry. I'm well taken care of. I got some coffee. Let me take a little sip. So, story today. I was thinking about this because from the show we played last night, just thinking about shows and stuff, and our tours, and Chris and I have done a few tours. Remember a story I told called The Great Donks Adventure? Well, I guess, never told what happened the first part of the day that led us up to that adventure. So I think I'll do that today, and I will call this story The Long Drunk Walk, a Donks Prequel. So, some of you may know or don't know the booking aspect of, at least from my perspective, of booking bands, my band, and booking readings at places. Like, the booking aspect sucks. I do not like booking. It's a lot of, especially like when you're starting and you're just not as known or popular or known in that region or something, it's hard to even get somebody to reply to you a lot of times. You're hitting them up. Yeah, you have to be consistent. Sometimes you have to send these people an email every day, twice a day sometimes. Just, you know, it sucks, man. And I know it sucks to be a booker. I'm not saying that's a job I would want to have or that I could do it better. But overall, booking is hard. It's not fun, and it can be fine sometimes, but it can be shitty. So this is a few years ago. Chris and Chris Jett and our good friend and road manager Atom, ATOM, we were out on tour. We were having a fine time, and we were in Tennessee. So we had two shows in Tennessee and then a day off, and then we had to be in Pensacola, Florida. It was our first time to Tennessee. We played in Memphis the first night that we were there with our friend Marshall, helped us out. Shouts out, Marshall. It was a great time. And then the next night, we played in Nashville. And it was an awesome show. This place called Mel's or Dino's Diner. That's what it was. And it was awesome. It was in the east side of Nashville. So that's like the kind of hip part, man. Like, you know, it's not down on Music Row where, you know, all that other crazy touristy shit is. Like, it's like, I don't know. It's like the Heights or Montrose here in Houston. It's like a cool little laid back neighborhood area, east side of Nashville. And we played there, like I said, and we had a great time, and we really, really liked both of those places, Memphis and Nashville. We were just like, yeah, man, this is cool. These places have good vibes. We like the people. So we have this one day off after the Nashville show, and we don't have to drive to Florida. You know, it's not a day drive to where we're going. You know, it's, you know, I don't know what it was, 6 or 8 hours or something like that. So we decided to stay an extra night in Nashville. We got another night on our motel that we were in, and we were going to walk around and try to find a gig that we could jump onto that night. So we could be added to something. We're like, yeah, man, there's tons of bars. There's just bars and shows in every single one of these bars. And I don't know if we were just like just overly optimistic at that point, or maybe we were just high on the euphoria of being on the road, but we were like, yeah, man, of course we can walk around to all these bars and someone will let us on their show. Why not, man? We're cool. We're on tour. Sure. These people are going to be breaking their necks to get us up there on their shows. Somebody's going to want us on their show tonight. So remember, like I said, booking is hard and a pain in the ass for both parties, I believe. So we start the day, you know, we decide to walk. It's kind of a walkable area for sure. It's, everything's pretty close together, especially if you're right down there in the center of where everything is going on. It's very walkable. So we left the car at, you know, we toured in my Honda Element, and we left it there at our motel, and we walked into the middle of we were kind of a little bit far out, not super far out, but it would have been better if we maybe would have parked close to like a bar and then started walking from there. But we're like, no. And the reason we got on this walkabout trip, if you will, is old Mr. Chris Jett. He said, no, we gotta walk. This is what you do on tour. You go walk. You go find place. You just walk. You don't drive. He was very adamant about this. So I was like, okay, I guess we're walking. Which was fine at first. Started out great. You know, we're able-bodied. We're in some kind of shapes. And we could do it. So we started off just at a random bar that was, you know, it was the middle of the afternoon. We just stopped to get a beer and like kind of get the lay of the land and figure out like a plan, kind of. And so we sat down there, and then we're looking like on our maps, like, you know, different bars that were close, like how we should walk the streets, if you will, to maximize our efficiency and our whole route that we were going to take. And we started off. So right away, one of the issues we were having was, you know, it's the middle of the afternoon. A lot of these places were open because they're kind of like their bars during the day, but there's no one there at that time that like has any kind of authority or even, you know, knows what's going on with the shows to be able to say, yeah, we'll put you on. So right away we found that, and we're like, oh yeah, that's right. What are we, stupid? The answer is yes. Some of the places were venues, so we knew they would be closed. You know, we maybe checked by just to see if somebody happened to be there, but the majority of these places are bars. Now, we go in, we also looked at, you know, we were smart. We looked at what music was was playing at that bar, first of all, who was playing there that night? Because, you know, of course, we're not going to go find a death metal show and ask to get put up on that. So we were looking for like similar stuff, punk rock or any kind of garage, something we could fit in with. And then we were asking there. Some people were actually like, I don't know, man, but you can email the band and see if they'll let you on. Or if you come back at this time, the booking guy will be here. And so maybe then you could talk to them, but I'm just not sure. We got a lot of that. And so we're all in this kind of little centralized area. We're walking from bar to bar. We're asking, you know, we're doing our due diligence, you know, and all this kind of stuff. And at each bar, though, that we're stopping, we're chatting with whoever we need to chat with. And then we're, you know, having a drink. Why not? You know, we're rock stars. We're on tour. You know, that's what you do. So we have some drinks at each one of these bars, and then we start feeling a little good, and you know, maybe we're getting a little bit more confidence in ourselves. We're like, you know what, the next one, that'll be it. And it never was. So then we look on our map and we see like, hey, there's some dive bars on the other side of this neighborhood that was right there. So if we just walk, we looked at the map, we just walk through this neighborhood, we'll hit those bars, and you know, and they're a little bit out, you know, they're on the other side of the middle of East Nashville. Maybe they'll have more openings. Maybe they'll be more open to flexible to set us on there or something like that. So like, yeah, that's the ticket. Let's start walking. Jesus Christ. It was, I don't know what we were thinking. Like I said, we were drunk, and we walked, I don't know, I want to say 45 minutes, maybe an hour through this neighborhood to get to these bars. It was awful. It's one of those things where you get, you know, when you start getting drunk, like day drunk kind of, and then you chill for a little bit and you start to get that little bit of almost a hangover creeping in. You know, you get a headache and, you know, you're dehydrated. It's because that's supposed to all happen when you go to sleep, but now you're awake this whole time, and now we're walking and we're sweating. It is summertime, and it's not as hot there as it is in Houston, but it was fucking hot, and so we're sweating. I wanted to strangle Chris a couple times. I was like, why did you think this was a good idea to walk? Walking sucks. I'm using my legs like a sucker, all this kind of Homer Simpson stuff. Finally, we come to where these couple of bars are, and when we get there, we just look at them and are like, shit. One of them isn't open, pretty dilapidated. I don't know if it would open again. The other one that was very close to it wasn't in much better shape, but it was open. It was like a shotgun style, narrow bar, like the size, like, you know, very like a narrow, maybe the size of like a double wide trailer kind of maybe. And everything about this bar was makeshift inside. Like, I think that the actual bar might have been stacked up on like milk crates with the fucking plank over it. You know, there's like an igloo cooler back there that they're getting the beers out of. There's no beer. I mean, it was just like, okay. And we go in and it's a really sad scene. There's like people in there drinking, but not people like us who are like on tour walking around cool guys, like just people like that this is their daily routine, is to probably come in here every single day and just sit and drink and smoke cigarettes, because you could still smoke cigarettes in those bars. And that bar, I remember, was one of the smokiest bars I had ever been in, and that includes the, oh man, what's the place we just played in Memphis last a couple months ago, that place, I forget what it's called now, but that place was really smoky. This was like smaller, and it was like people were smoking cigarettes with three hands in there, and it just couldn't stop, couldn't get away from it. Excuse me. And we sat down and talked to the bartender, very nice woman, and she's like, oh, you know, we have karaoke sometimes, you know, sugar, but we don't have any bands play. Oh, what are y'all, blah blah blah. And I was like, oh shit, we're getting in this conversation. So we're like, you know what, just give us, we'll take a few rounds, and we'll play the jukebox for a little while because we need to rest. So we sit there and we're like talking to this lady, and she's nice, and I'm playing Elvis on the jukebox, and she's like, "Oh, I didn't think you guys would play this kind of music on the jukebox." And we're like, "Oh, well, that's us." And we basically drank ourselves back to drunk so that we could walk all the way back another hour. Thank you, Chris. So we walked all through this neighborhood again. We stopped at one more place that was on the way back on the other side of the neighborhood, coming back like in a little, like a little round circle we made. And they weren't any help. They were like, "Nah, like, what are you even doing here? This is like a nice place. Get out." So we're like, "Okay, thank you." So we managed to get back, and we were like, we pass a grocery store on the way back to our motel, and our plan was like, "Look, let's just stop in the grocery store, buy some groceries, and I guess we'll just, you know, chill in the motel tonight, you know, or whatever. We don't, you know, we can't find a gig. We don't have a ton of money to spend. Let's just get stuff and go to the hotel." So motel, sorry. I don't want you to think we're that fancy. So we stopped at, like, I think there was a Kroger there, and we went in and we bought a 12-pack of Yingling beer, a loaf of bread, some peanut butter, some hot Cheetos, and this sandwich spread, which I'm not sure what it was in it, but it's one of those things where it's probably like Thousand Island dressing with mayonnaise and chunks of vegetables of some kind, maybe an eyeball in there or something. I'm not sure. But we got that. I don't know why we got that either, but we sure did. It was weird. We took all this back to our motel, and pretty much like are resigned to, well, I guess we're just going to be in here tonight, so let's just start hanging out. And hang out we did. Boy, we made some sandwiches. I made a sandwich with Cheetos and peanut butter and the sandwich spread, just because I was daring. It was fine. It was good. And we drank that 12-pack pretty quick between the three of us, much faster than we anticipated. And because we were feeling no pain, if you will, we all of a sudden decide that we need to go back out. Hey, what are we doing, guys? We need to go back out. We need to find something else to do. Driving right now is out of the question for us. Walking was our best option, but all of us were like, dude, we're not walking all the way back into like the center of East Nashville to find a bar or a show. It wasn't super far, but it was not, now it was much further after having walked all that. So we wanted to find a bar in walking distance, but one that was like legit walking distance, like I'm gonna get there in a couple minutes walking distance. So that's when we start to search. So we pulled up the old Google Maps and I just typed in bar, and two bars came up in the vicinity. One was much further than we wanted to walk, and the other one was just down the street and up the hill from us. Bit close, easy walk, take us about 5-6 minutes to get there. I said, let's do it. What's it called? They said. And I looked at my phone and I said, I don't know what this means, but it's called Donks. Donks Sports Bar. And even the picture, when you like hit it on my map, was just a generic picture, like a picture of a bar with liquor and stuff. Just generic, like, here's a bar, you know? It wasn't a real pictures from the establishment for some reason, so we didn't know what we were, you know, it's a bar, sports bar. It's right up the street, let's go. And so, Chris and Adam and I left our motel, happily, having a fine time, scrapping, having a scrappy good time, and we walked down the street and up the hill to Donks. Now, if you've listened to The Great Donks Adventure, The Great Donks Adventure starts right here where I've stopped. If you haven't listened to it, and you want to know what happens next at Donks and what Donks turned out to be, I suggest you go back and listen to The Great Donks Adventure. It's one of the earlier episodes of the podcast, so it might be in like the top, like, but maybe the first 20, within the first 20 episodes, I think it is. So you can see what happened, and yeah, and then you can put both the stories together and be like, whoa, it's like, I know what happened, Luke, I'm your father and shit, oh, holy shit. Yeah, it'll be just like that, and we'll all be better for it. But, you know, I will say this, walking is great, it's really good, it's good for your heart, it's good for your soul, your body. It's a great low impact exercise to do, especially if you're just starting to exercise, because you won't get discouraged. You just do some walking, and it's great. It's a great time to think, to clear your head. It's a beautiful thing. But if it's the middle of the afternoon and you've maybe drank like 10 beers in the course of 2 hours, just don't. It's walking is the worst thing ever. Just don't walk. But I guess you're not supposed to drive either. So, like, just go to sleep or, you know, take an Uber. All right, there you go. The prequel to the old Donks story there. So, again, if you want to know what happens and you don't, check out The Great Donks Adventure, one of the earlier episodes of the podcast. And while you're doing that, hey, why don't you check out my new book, As Seen on TV, out now from Grindhouse Press. The paperback is live. The Kindle is live. All you can handle, bro. On Amazon right now. Soon to be on the JohnWayneIsDead.com store page, which if you go there now, you could get any of my other books from that would come directly from me. So I will certainly personalize them and send you some extra goodies. And you can get the new John Wayne is Dead 12-inch record, as well as our new Motorcade John Wayne is Dead shirt, and all kinds of stuff. All our old stuff, 7 inches, the other t-shirts, everything is right there. And it comes right from us, so you know you'll get a little something extra, some love there. If you're an Amazon person, all my stuff is on Amazon. All my books are on Kindle. Please check them out. And I thank you very much just for listening to the podcast. I really appreciate it. If you are in Atlanta and are going to be at Days of the Dead next weekend, please, please, please come see myself and David Barbie and Nick P. We'll be at a table. We'll be having a good old time. We'll be celebrating my birthday. We'll be slinging books. It's going to be a great time. So I will be in Atlanta next week for that whole thing. And I do have a reading as well. I will be reading with Barbie and Jeff Strand, who Jeff Strand and I have been you know, we've been put together a couple readings lately. It's nice. He's a cool dude, and he's a great writer. So I'm looking forward to that. It's on Sunday. I'll post more about the time. There's already, like, a flyer, I think, that the con is put together and putting out. So that's exciting. I'm excited to do that. Please also go to JohnWayneIsDead.com to the shows page to see all the dates that I have coming up, the shows that Chris and I have as John Wayne is Dead, and then also the other conventions that I have coming up and readings. All that stuff is on there. Please follow me at John Wayne is Dead on Instagram and Twitter. I keep those stories pretty well updated, so you know everything that's going on with me and writing and music. And also check me out on my Facebook, John Wayne Camionale, my name. And yeah, thanks again. Check me out on Brian Keenan, the Horror Show, if you haven't already. It was a great episode and a really fun interview. I love that guy. And he's helped me out a lot. I really appreciate his support. Thanks again, everybody. Check me out. Check out the podcast. Check it out. Buy my new book, As Seen on TV. And let's all be friends.